your time waiting for that second chance, for a break that would make it all.
To really change the complexion of the game, really the temperature of the game, swing some momentum, you know, create some momentum. We had opportunities to do that, and you know, that was our best opportunities right there in that third quarter. You know, the fourth quarter was, you know, was challenging, as you saw. But you know, we only scored 10 points in the game, which were the only 10 points in the second quarter with opportunities,
John,
to really close the gap.
You, I know you're a Buff.
We haven't done that.
Yes,
so we,
through and through.
We
you bleed black and gold, much like I bleed black and gold, but
team,
mine is UCF.
They understand. You know,
I felt like I was compelled to just put something in there in today's show to really just kind of get to you, get to your heart.
You know,
I want to adopt a buffalo right now, and I will you be that buffalo that I can adopt? I want to help you.
I think they're putting me down, unfortunately. I did, you know, I wasn't one of the lucky animals. You hear, Sarah?
Will you be my Ralphie 7?
I will be your Ralphie 7. I will do that for you. Only for you, though. I don't think I can run that far down the field without, you know, just needing a big breath of fresh air.
Well, we're going to bring in a big breath of fresh air now. Well done, John. And that is Tony Cassolo, USA Today, ColoradoBuffaloesWire.com, to talk about that CU Minnesota matchup. Rowing the boat. We got Tony, I hope you don't mind. I just had to play a little Sarah McLachlan there. I mean, I felt it went really well with your piece there on USA Today Sports, the three areas of concern for CU Buffs week three. First, your thoughts on the lead into you with Sarah McLachlan and Carl Durrell. And then second, let's talk about what you're expecting this weekend.
Well, I'm just hoping there's enough space maybe to have me within this table, too. You know, I'm a former Buffalo as well. I was hoping maybe you could make some room for me. You could adopt me as well, but yeah, that was just about hit the perfect note for the intro song for how most Buffalo fans feel going into this game. Obviously, we've had a rough couple of first two games to deal with. The TCU game, obviously, closed in the first half, blown out in the second half, and then Air Force, you know, just got grinded down by an all-out rushing attack, so it's hard to see it any differently going in against another team that's going to run the ball down your throat consistently. So,
Tony Cassolo with USA Today, ColoradoBuffaloesWire.com, joining us right here on the Fan Cave College Football Edition. Tony, I'm going to ask a question, then I'm going to pass the mic over to your fellow Buff, John Cronenberg. But give the Buffalo fans want a glimmer. Give them something. As they travel against 2-0 Minnesota, they're heading to Minneapolis playing against the Golden Gophers. You know, Minnesota's 2-0. They've won, I think, five of their five straight heading back to last season. But what is Carl Durrell doing to kind of make some changes here? Give the Buffs fans something to grasp on.
Right. Well, I think, you know, he mentioned it in the teaser coming in back from the break. You know, mentioned that the defense was able to get some turnovers last week. Obviously, we didn't capitalize on them, but it was very good to see the defense kind of stand up, turn the ball over against a team that really doesn't turn the ball over very often. Able to come away with three turnovers, a muff punt also that set us up in pretty good field position. So, you know, there could be a glimmer of hope where maybe a big play like that, big defensive stand, sack, forced fumble, some kind of defensive play could really kickstart this offense. You know, give us the ball deep in Minnesota's territory, give some kind of breath of life to this offense that really needs it at this point. And I would say kind of the blueprint that you need going into that Minnesota game is what you saw in that first half. You know, that's kind of the one true thing that Buffs fans can hold on to. You know, we held on to the ball for 22 minutes of that first half. You know, we ran the ball pretty effectively. Maybe that could be something that we could lean back into to give us a jump start on that offense.
Hey, this is John Cronenberg here. How you doing, Tony? You know, looking back at the change from Darren Cheverini going on to Mike Stanford, you know, have you felt like this has been a huge difference in transforming this offense? I was expecting, you know, a lot of multiple looks, different kind of things going on, and I feel like this is a similar kind of thing as we saw with Cheverini. team falling kind of a little flat on their faces early on, not moving the ball downfield, not taking their shots when they do have them. And overall, even when you had Trout in there for the first time where everyone was excited to have some deep balls, you really didn't see them attack that differently. So what's your opinion on Mike Sanford at this point of his career with Colorado?
Yeah, I think it's kind of an incomplete grade right now. You know, it has been kind of very vanilla, in my opinion, and I think I mentioned that in my piece on Buffalo's Wire. You know, you could really boil it down to just a couple pass routes that you see. You know, and they're trying to attack those small curl routes. There's been a lot of crossing routes, very short passing game. You really see, haven't seen more than maybe one or two deep shots down the field with, you know, we do have some good outside weapons that you'd think we could take advantage of, especially with young secondaries like Air Force had, or even TCU. I would say you haven't seen enough change from the two offensive coordinators, but I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that even though we've changed offensive coordinators, nothing at the quarterback position has changed very much. You still saw Brandon Lewis either the coach is not letting him, or either him just kind of refusing to take shots down the field. Yes, he was highly efficient. I think he had like 72% completion percentage, but all of those were short passes, you know. JT, I think the weather didn't do him any favors against Air Force. Air Force also has a great defense, but again, you just kind of saw the same route tree being incorporated, and I'd like to see them expand on that, try to attack him with screens or, you know, some more shots down the field, try and loosen up that defense for a run game that I think actually can be effective.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was going to be about my next question, which was around the quarterbacks and especially JT Shroud. You haven't really, I feel like he hasn't really had a fair shot with outside elements, where it hasn't just been JT, go do your thing. You've either had weather or you've had swapping back and forth with Lewis to really kind of get into his own. Is that, what are you hearing? Is that going to change this week? I mean, hopefully, you know, weather permitting. Unless they're playing, are they playing in a dome?
Minnesota?
No, they don't have, they don't have a dome. There's no dome. Yeah. So, no. So weather, you know, permitting, have we seen the best of JT Shroud yet? And you also mentioned, you know, some weapons, and the guy that popped into my head was RJ Snead. You know, is he fully healthy? How's he coming along? Are you going to see, you know, that kid who transferred from Baylor and led the team in 2020 in receiving yards as second in the team with the Bears as well? You know, has he gotten a fair shot at it? I'd like to think of it as like Trey Lance last week playing against the Bears in that monsoon. I feel like we haven't seen the best of him yet.
Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good comp. You know, I was actually there at the Air Force CU game, and it was pretty crummy weather, you know, very hard to hold onto the ball, very wet. I think you saw that in the way that Air Force turned over the ball. Again, never a team that does that. It was hard to hang on to that day. It would be nice to see him get kind of a complete game, no outside distractions. I think you mentioned it, you know, he was put in some tough spots in the TCU game. You know, I think his first drive was started at the 1 yard line right before the end of half, and then having to rotate in and out in the second half with Brandon. You know, I would like to see him get that full opportunity. Another thing I'd really like to see from him is it seems like he likes to leave the pocket. He's just not trusting his offensive line right now. And I think that's one of the few bright spots on the team that you've seen, is actually a little bit of improvement with the offensive line. I'd really like to see him set his feet, because he is at his best when he's able to set his feet and swing the ball down the field. You've kind of seen him with some happy feet running around, and he's just inaccurate when that happened. He can't make the plays on his feet, kind of like Brandon can. I think RJ has been getting progressively more healthier, and I think you're going to see him in more and more snaps as the year goes on. He gets comfortable with the offense. You know, I think all Buffalo's fans are hoping we see that RJ Snead that came over from Baylor. You know, he was a dynamic playmaker, could really stretch the field. I think we're all hoping for the best and hoping to see him kind of capitalize on some opportunities in the next couple of games.
Thanks, Tony. We appreciate you. Hey, listen, how can the listeners follow you on social media, follow your work online?
Yeah, you can find us at Colorado Buffalo's Wire on Twitter, and you can find me personally at Lots of Boba Fett.
I love it.
Yes, I see what you did there.
I see what you did there. Well done.
Not just a little. It's a lot to Boba Fett.
Well, hey, Tony, thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate you jumping on short notice, but we wanted to get some CU perspective in here. Give them something to kind of grasp onto, and it should be interesting. Like you guys were talking about there as far as, you know, what you're going to see from Shroud, what you're going to see from an offense led by, who was it, Samford? You said Samford, right? Mike Samford. And he's going up against, somebody he knows very well in Joe Rossi with the Minnesota, with the defensive coordinator there. So we'll see. Go Buffs. Tony, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Awesome. Well, you know, hopefully it'll be more joyous music that we'll play next week for the Buffs.
We're going to get out of this vanilla kind of offense and, you know,
for some give JT Shroud the chance.
Yeah, and the pocket will be there. So start making some plays and again, maybe start blitzing a little bit more and stop that run game.
My seat's getting hot. That means Andrew's pushing that button back there that makes it say, hey, we got to go to break. Don't go anywhere. We've got one more segment, the fourth quarter here on the College Football Edition of the Fan Cave. We're going to break it down. It's flying through this show. We're going to fly through the fourth as well as we're going to break down a little bit of these big games that you've got on tonight, especially Wyoming and Air Force, and then some of the big ones for the weekend. We'll give you our picks. We'll give you some players to keep an eye out for this weekend as well. It is the Fan Cave. I'm Tony Comas alongside me, John Cronenberg, Andrew Detmer behind the glass. College Football Edition every Friday, 1 to 2 o'clock, right here, 98.1 107.5 HD3, Mile High Sports. And I'm not trying to lose.